In Luke chapter 24, the Bible tells us that this is what Jesus said to the disciples. Luke chapter 24, it says this, "Then he opened," "and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." In verse 45, "Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." You know, dear friends, as we conclude this program today, I want to share with you a few things about the scriptures. See, God has made it very clear who he is and who his son is. And the God the Father wants to draw everyone, every human being on the face of the earth to his son, Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 6, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." I do not know where you are spiritually, but you're either saved or lost. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. I do not know where you are today. There's too many of you and there's too little time to talk about it personally at this very moment. But God loves you. And God loves me, and he's done numbers of things in our life to make us know about him. Number one, he gave us creation. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Whenever someone looks at creation, Linda and I, one time we were in the Bahamas on our 7th wedding anniversary. And we got to go see some fish out in the around the coral. I could not believe the colors. The colors were so bright in those fish, crayons could not improve it. It was unbelievable. When I saw those fish with those unbelievably beautiful colors, I thought, how could someone say there's not a God? No, creation shows that there's a God. Not only creation, but your conscience. The Bible says that Jesus is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That means that inside of every human being, God has put an acknowledgement there's someone bigger than you out there. Inside of you. Not only does creation and conscience tell us there's a God, but also we know there's a God because of circumstances. How many of you have ever came close to going into eternity? I mean, you were just a moment away, a car wreck, someone almost ran over you, a bullet, something happened where you just almost died. Can you think about that? Would you raise your hand if you think about that? Well, I have thought about that. Boy, several times in my life, I thought I was going to be in eternity in that quick. But God in his mercy allowed me to still stay here at 50 years old. You know, the circumstance reminds me there's a God. Not only that, but consequences show me there's a God. You ever mess up and you thought no one ever knew? You did something wrong and no one ever knew, and then someone found out. And you're wondering how that happened. There's a God. But then God's ultimate way of getting us to know about him was when he sent his son. Not only creation and a conscience and circumstances and a consequences, but Christ. Christ is God's way to show us that he's real. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He brought his son, Jesus Christ. And you know what? That even changed the world's calendar. Anywhere in the world today, it is April the 1st, 2018. After the death of one man outside the hills of Jerusalem. When his son came and died, the world started time all over again. B.C., before Christ, A.D., after his death. God wanted the whole world to know that he came. But there's one other way in which God has revealed himself to us, and that is through the scriptures. The canon of scriptures. Oh, people can know there's a God through creation and through circumstances, through the conscience and consequences, through Christ, through the calendar. But the best way that you can learn about eternal life and God is through His Word, the Scriptures. Those two people on the road to Emmaus, what they were impressed with is that Jesus would open up the Scriptures and help them understand the Bible. The very best day in my life, someone asked me, John, do you know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven? I didn't know. Oh, I knew about Easter. I went to church every Easter. I knew about Christmas and all the things in regards to that, but I did not know for sure that my sins were forgiven. I did not know that if I died at that moment, I'd go to heaven. But I'm so glad that someone stopped me and opened up the Scriptures. They didn't just ask me the question. They showed me from the Bible how I could know that I have everlasting life. And the Bible convinced me that I was a sinner. I deserved to go to hell. Jesus was my only hope. And I needed to believe and receive Christ. It was the Bible that changed everything. Well, I want to share with you only one verse of the Bible this morning. Of all the verses of the Bible, this one is probably the most famous. Most people know, the Lord is my, I shall not want. But probably close to that one is the verse I want to share with you. You probably already have known it. I remember years ago when I was watching Dallas Cowboys play the Washington Redskins. There was a guy at the end of the end zone with different color hair on, holding up a sign. You know, on that sign it said, John 3:16. Tim Tebow, in his championship game, he put on his little eyeliner right there that kind of kept the sun from getting in his eyes. He put John 3:16. And right after that, millions of people Googled, what does John 3:16 say? Well, it's an amazing verse of the Bible. It only has 25 words. But it's the greatest verse in the Bible, in my opinion. It's only 25 words. There's only two words that have more than three syllables, or two syllables, begotten and everlasting. It's a simple verse. It's not hard to read. Most second graders can read it. It's simple, and it's got 25 words, and 12 words, and then there's a word, and 12 more words, and then there's another. There's a word in between, and the word in between, the 13th word of the verse, is Jesus. Because really, all the Bible is about Jesus. Why does the Bible talk about Jesus? Because He's the only way, He's the truth, and He's the life. No one goes to heaven but by Him. I've asked them to put it on the screen there. Look at it, if you would please. Let's read it together. John 3:16. Everybody, would you? For God so loved the world. I want to pray, and I want to talk to you about that verse just for a second. Would that be all right with you? Let's pray together, can we? Our Father in heaven, thank you very much for the opportunity to share these truths with our friends today. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the Scriptures. And thank you for this verse, John 3:16. Every one of us need to hear from you this morning. I pray that you would give us a holy hush about the building. Bring people to your Son, even today. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. I want you to notice the first major word there. This, I believe, is the greatest verse in the Bible. Number one, because the first word that stands out to me is God. God is the greatest person on the universe. Every good gift, every perfect gift, cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, that's God. The Bible starts off with the words, in the beginning, what's the next word? God created the heavens and the earth. He's the creator. He's the lover of the world. He's the greatest person in the planet, and on the planet and outside the planet. The Bible tells us that the earth is His. and the fullness thereof, and the world, and all they that dwell therein. Why is John 3:16 such a great verse? Number one, because it has the greatest person. Number two, not only is the word God important because it's the greatest person, but so loved. That's the greatest love. When God went to describe his love to you and to me, he said, he so loved. So is such an open word. It means it's indescribable. John 15, verse 13, the Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. He says in 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. Why is John 3:16 the world's greatest verse possibly? Number one, it contains the world's greatest person, God. Number two, it contains the world's greatest love. A love of which you and I cannot even imagine. By the way, the devil wants you to think that God doesn't love you. From the first time that he spoke to a human being in the Bible, he said, yea, hath God said. God doesn't care about you, Eve. He just wants to make sure that your life is miserable. Do you know some people believe that today? But that's not the God of the Bible. It's the greatest person, God. The greatest love that he would love. But number three, not only the greatest person and the greatest love, but the greatest mass of people ever loved. God so loved the... That means you. That means me. Everyone in the whole world. His love is not just for a few. 1 John chapter 2 says he's not only the propitiation for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. God loves the greatest group of people ever loved is the world. 7.3 billion people who live right now. And maybe there are more people living right now than have ever lived in all of history. If that's true, you're in that group. I'm in that group. He loves you. He cares about you. Why is John 3:16? Maybe the world's greatest verse, because it talks about the greatest person, God. The greatest love that could ever be given, he describes it as he just so loved the world. But not only that, it was the greatest group of people ever loved, the whole world. Not only that, let's look at the next one if we can. For God so loved the world that he gave. This is the greatest sacrifice. My wife and I, we have 9 children. All of them are girls except for 7. We have 7 boys and 2 girls. Boy, we love them. And they love us most of the time. But I'm telling you, I can't even imagine giving my son for someone else. Giving our daughter for someone else. We love them. There's a love that we have our son who almost 10 years ago, we got a phone call in the middle of the night. He was riding with a sweet friend and family friend of ours, and their family was traveling, and he was asked to go along. And the car flipped over in an accident, and when it was all done, the driver was not injured. The man in the back was not injured, but something broke our son's ribs. And in a few moments, one rib went into his lung, the other rib went into his heart. He suffered lung and heart contusions, and in a few moments on the side of the road, he went home to be with the Lord. You know, I don't know how God feels, but I know it was very difficult to lose a son. But God, his son, my son, didn't die for anyone's sin. He was a sinner himself. He had to accept Jesus himself. But God's son, Jesus, who didn't know sin, became sin for us. Why is John 3:16 such a great verse? Number one, it's the greatest person, God. It's the greatest love that could ever be expended. It's the greatest mass of people to receive the love. And it's the greatest sacrifice. Let's go back to the verse and see the next major word, that God gave his only begotten Son. That's the 13th word of this great verse. right smack in the middle of the world's greatest verse, is really the answer to have eternal life. It's the greatest gift. The Bible says that he that hath the Son hath everlasting life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God aboundeth on him. It abides on him. You know, this is interesting, friend. But when you die, you either go into eternity with your sin or with God's Son. There are no two other options. That's why it's imperative that you have Jesus. It's why it's imperative that you have the gift. He gave his only begotten Son. Because if you go into eternity without Jesus, you will go to the lake of fire forever. If you go because you're going to go into eternity with your sin, and sin brings a penalty. But the greatest gift ever given was Jesus. I have received gifts. I received a gift of a watch several years ago from a man I got to share the gospel with. His name is Dale, and Dale gave me this watch. I have it on this morning. If someone were to say, "Oh, that's a nice watch, Pastor," I would say, "It was a gift." I like gifts, but the greatest gift in the world is Jesus. Do you have him? Have you accepted him? Let's go back to our verse again. Once again, the greatest person, God, the greatest love, the greatest mass of people ever loved is the world, and that includes me and you. The greatest sacrifice, the greatest gift. But then the Bible says that whosoever, that's the greatest inclusion. Anyone. I'm glad that God did not say the talented can be saved. Or the rich can be saved. Or the smart can be saved. Or the African American can be saved. Or the Spanish can be saved. Or the Caucasians can be saved. No. He said, whosoever. That means you, and that means me. That means, it's interesting, he was speaking this information to a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a very, very good person. If you keep reading in John chapter 4, you'll find a very wicked person. And every one of us fall between those two people, Nicodemus or the wicked woman at the well. From the uttermost to the guttermost. If anyone fits in a whosoever, it's the greatest inclusion. Anybody who would accept Jesus Christ, he would save them. So it's the greatest inclusion. Let's look at the next one. I love this one. Because not only is it the greatest inclusion, but it's believing. It really is. It is whosoever believeth in him is the greatest option. Do you know, if God said, if you want to go to heaven, you got to get baptized, then the thief on the cross didn't go to heaven. Yesterday, or on Friday, I was talking to a lady. She was 93 years old. Her niece called me and said, "Pastor, my aunt and my mother are twins. You have visited them 5 times, and I have. They live in Pasadena in Arcadia, California. Beautiful. You step outside their house, and they have a beautiful pool and a beautiful garden. You can see Mount Baldy out the back door of their house. 2 twins, 93 years old. And I remember talking to them before, and they really weren't interested, but she said, "Pastor, my aunt's been diagnosed with kidney cancer. They have sent her home to die. She's got 3 weeks to live." She said, "Pastor, I would pay for your plane ticket if you could just come out and try to tell her. I've asked them if I could send my pastor, but they said, 'No, don't send your pastor. We don't know him. But they know you. Would you come tell them about Jesus one more time? I don't want my aunt to go to hell without one more warning.'" Because she, all the other times, she rejected the gospel. I went to the home, and the Lord worked it out where I could sit with her for a while. There were some distractions. The devil didn't want me to do it. There were some other people who didn't want me to talk to her. But I got to talk to her. Matter of fact, someone was telling me, we need to go. And my little 93-year-old sick friend said, "I want to hear what the reverend has to say." And the person trying to get me out, she said, "What?" I said, "She wants to hear what I have to say." She said, all right, stay here, I'll go. And she went. I began to tell her about Jesus. I told her she was a sinner and she couldn't go to heaven that way. Her sin was against God. She said, what's it mean to my sins against God? I said, well, it means that you can't go to heaven by yourself. You'll need Jesus. Everyone who goes to heaven has to have Jesus. She said, oh, I understand. And then she began to say, I began to tell her about what Christ did for her. I said, if Jesus would take your sin, he would take you. And she said, oh, that's so nice. She said, if Jesus would take me, she had oxygen in her nose and she was kind of restless. But she said, Pastor, Reverend, if Jesus would take me, then I'll take him. I said, would you want to ask him to get saved right now? She goes, yep, I do. And saw her put her hands together. I prayed for her. But I was so glad I could tell my friend Myra. She told me, said, Pastor, I'm 93. All three of my general doctors, I outlasted all three of my doctors. My whole life I've had three doctors. They all died before me. He said, I buried three husbands. She said, I always wonder why God let me live to be 93. She said, I think I know now. She accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior. I'm so glad I could tell her, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anyone, whether you're old or young, you have to be a sinner. And you have to understand your sins against God. And you can't save yourself, and only through Jesus you can have eternal life. Then you can be whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Then I want you to notice here the greatest escape. Not only is the greatest person God, the greatest love, the greatest mass of people ever loved. Not only do we have the greatest gift and the greatest sacrifice and the greatest inclusion, but we have the greatest escape. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Friend, you want to be interested in that statement. Perish. Perish means to die. It means to be separated from God. In the Bible, there are two deaths. A physical death, which separates the body and the soul. Today, we announced about our friend Brenda, who passed away at 9:32 this morning. Her body stayed in Lubbock, Texas, but her soul went to be with God. But now Brenda is separated from her soul and her body, and she's separated from her loved ones. And that's going to happen to you, and it's going to happen to me one day. And that's part of the penalty of sin. The wages of sin is death. But there's one more death you don't have to have, and that's the death that separates you from God forever. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 14, the Bible says this, and death, people who have died, and hell, the grave, the Bible tells us that shall be cast, and they'll be if you who's not accepted the Lord, shall be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. If your name is not in the book of life, that's where you can go forever. See, in 100 years from tonight, all that's going to matter is where you live. With God or without Him. With God in heaven or without God in the lake of fire. And the God, that greatest verse tells you the greatest escape is so you won't have to die. You won't have to be separated from God. And then the last thing about that verse is the greatest eternity. You would not have to perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, are you going to perish, or are you going to have eternal life? Do you have eternal life, or do you have eternal death? Do you have the gift of eternal life in Jesus, or do you have your sins still? That's why God has drawn your heart to this location today. Oh, I'm thankful for the music and the beautiful choir and wonderful instrumentalists and talented singers and even the narrative on the screen. But truth of the matter is, Easter Sunday is about eternity. Because Jesus lives, you can have everlasting life. But in this room, you're either saved or you're lost. You're either going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. You're either going to have everlasting life or you're going to have to perish, to be separated from God forever. I want to share with you real quickly how you can know you have everlasting life. Number one, you must understand that you're a sinner and your sin's against God. You can't save yourself. If you could earn eternal life by being good, then why would Jesus have to die on the cross? Number two, the price for keeping your sin and not accepting Jesus is to go to hell. The wages of sin is death. If you choose to continue on in life and try to go to heaven by being good and not doing bad, or getting baptized, or doing confirmation, or attending church, or helping, no, it's not enough. The wages of sin is not baptism. It's not being a good person. It's death. And that's why Jesus came. Jesus came. He died. He was separated from God the Father so you wouldn't have to be. And He gives you and I eternal life. A gift. A gift has to be free, but it has to be accepted. Everyone who goes to heaven will have a time and a place when they personally receive Jesus as their Savior. Now, you receive a gift. If I had a gift to give you, I have a tie on today. Someone gave it to me. And they handed it out to me, and I took it. I took off my other tie and put on this tie. It's a gift. But the reason I have this tie on is because I accepted the gift. If I would have said to them, no, I'm sorry, I do not want that tie, I'm sorry, I wouldn't be wearing it, and I wouldn't have the gift. But the reason I have this tie is because I accepted it. And if you were to ask me, when did you do that? I could tell you where and when and who gave me the tie. When you go to heaven, everybody's going to have a where and a when that you accept Jesus. Have you had that time? Do you know when that was? When you personally realized you're a sinner, you can't save yourself, and you asked Jesus to save you? If you don't know when, it's probably because you weren't there. And it's probably because you do not have everlasting life. And you can have it this morning.